You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of We Got Next here on MMAFighting.com. I am Mike Heck. We are back. We took a week off last week. I took a few days off after covering the Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley fight in Tampa. What a scene. And I've said this a few times. I felt like I was 487 years old being out there covering that event because I just don't... When I was growing up, 80s, 90s, even like in the 2000s, the word celebrity wasn't a very loose term. Like, you were either famous or you weren't famous, and it was pretty easy to spot who the famous people were. And if you saw famous people and you saw people lining up to take pictures with these famous people, you thought, I know who this person is. But in this day and age, covering an event like that and seeing all the people that were had lines to take selfies with, I didn't recognize any of them. I maybe recognized like one out of 50 or 60. It was just a wild scene. For the first time in my combat sports journalism career, that was the first time I was like, man, am I too old to cover the sport? And then I realized this is just kind of a freak show thing with Jake Paul, and how long is this going to last? But it was definitely a week I will never forget, for good or for bad. And happy to be back on the show, talking some MMA, talking to some of the stars of the sport who are on their way up, who are looking to do some big things. And we got one guest this week. I haven't done an interview in a while since Tampa, but nice to be back home sitting in the chair in Command Center 3.0 and having these conversations. And I had a conversation with Ricky Simone, who had a big win on the final UFC event of the year, UFC Vegas 45, a couple of weeks ago. He knocks out Rafael Assunção just in vicious fashion. What a stamp he put on his 2021. 3-0 for the year, two finishes. Of course, he had the win over Brian Kelleher as well, but this was a tremendous performance. A lot of people were asking questions because they remember Simone's fight against Uriah Faber, how that all played out. So people had questions. What if he gets another veteran test with an established name? Can he get over the hump? And he did that with flying colors. And, of course, he got on the microphone afterwards. He called out Sean O'Malley. But even before that, his post-fight interview with Michael Bisping was a little awkward. Things got a little awkward. Bisping talked about it. And I, of course, want to get Ricky Simone's take on that whole conversation as well. So always great to catch up with Ricky Simone, the 29-year-old. And we're going to do that right now. So thank you all for listening. We appreciate it very much. Right now, we're going to leave you with my conversation with right now the number 13 ranked UFC bantamweight in the world, Ricky Simone. All right, let us say hello once again to Ricky Simone, who on the final event of 2021 for the UFC picks up the biggest win of his career. He knocks out Rafael Assunção in the second round at UFC Vegas 45. Four straight victories for the man with the returning mullet, Ricky Simone, who is kind enough to join us. Ricky, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. That was some performance. It was dominant. The finish was brutal and nasty. And you're a guy that moves ahead pretty quickly. You don't like to savor the flavor for too long, but it's been a little over a week now. Are you able to kind of smell the roses of this one, considering you beat a guy with an established name in this division for quite some time?
Yeah, well, of course, yeah, I'm super happy with the win. I feel like I was so well prepared going into that one. My coach just kind of really just broke down everything he was going to do, and I felt really comfortable in there. And I think that was the theme of the week, was just being relaxed and comfortable. But I'm ready to move on, though. I'm excited to see what's next. I'm excited to see who they throw at me. I feel like there's a lot of possibilities right now, especially in our weight class. And there's some guys who need some fights who are ranked above me. So I'm excited to see who they come at me with.
Can you compare the comfort you felt this fight week to like any other fight week you've had, whether it's in the UFC or any other promotion on the way up?
No, I mean, I've been comfortable before, but that was like the most relaxed I've been. I think because I kind of have been here before, you know, 2 years ago, I kind of like started my UFC career at 3-0 in the UFC, and I beat Ronnie Yahya, who was ranked at the time. So I kind of felt like I built myself back up to that moment, and I just like kept telling myself to relax, because, you know, I do this every day in the gym, and I've already put my 10,000 hours in, and I just feel so comfortable. Like I have a good amount of fights now. So I'm just like, all right, let's just stay comfortable and go do what we do.
It's kind of weird, like having this conversation with you now, because I remember talking to you back, but well before the UFC, like, yeah, I think it was, I don't remember how long you were at Titan FC, but I remember we spoke before that. And it just seemed like you were just getting started then. And now all these years later, like you're a UFC veteran, you're winning all these fights, you're in the top 15 again. Like it's kind of strange to think back on like some of the early interviews I've done in my career and just see where some of these guys are now. And you're one of those guys that's probably at the top of the list. Is it kind of surreal to look back on those early days and think about where you're at now? Do you think about those days at all?
Yeah. I mean, it feels like it was just yesterday. I don't know. I feel like it's been flying by, you know. I'm 29 now. I'm 19-3 as a professional. No one's called me Young Buck in a while. I feel like everyone used to always call me the Young Buck. Ed Herman in the gym called me a veteran the other day. I'm like, shit, Ed Herman's called me a veteran.
What was that like to hear from a guy like that?
Oh, that was, you know, he's like, you know, one of the teammates, one of the captains, one of the coaches at the gym, you know. So it's awesome getting to be around him. And, you know, he's been in the game forever, like since Ultimate Fighter, what, 3? So, I mean, it's awesome to get to learn from him. And he's definitely helped me a lot. But to hear him say, like, call me a veteran, I was like, oh, man, that was pretty cool.
I was thinking back, like, when these fights happen, weird things kind of pop in my head, like from movies and different references. And when I saw your finish, I was thinking back at, like, the movie Rounders after you won. And Matt Damon had this great line when he was talking about poker. And I feel like it relates to fighting and mostly how the fans view fighting. It's something to the effect of like few players recall big pots that they've won, as strange as that seems, but every player can remember with remarkable accuracy the outstanding tough beats of his career. And I feel like, Rick, you could win 800 fights in a row, but until you got up to fighting somebody in the top 15, more notably a veteran guy with that name and resume, there was always that question, right? Well, remember what happened with the Uriah Faber fight? Is he able to get over that hump? And I know you don't care about that stuff too much, but was there a little bit of weight lifted off of your shoulders after you landed that uppercut and the referee stepped in and stopped the fight?
A bit of me, like I know what I'm capable of. So like, there wasn't like, I don't know, but there was a little part of me that was like, damn, I can't lose to another old guy. You know, like everyone's going to know my kryptonite. If you're over 10 years older than me, you know, it's not going to go good.
Yeah. It's just in this sport, it's like, you remember those things, but once you get that one win, it's like the other one didn't happen. Like, I think people will still remember for Faber, but less for you now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that I feel like, I don't know, I'm just used to that question all the time anyways, you know, like this is why I love the sport is MMA. Anything can happen, you know, and I know what I sign up for, and that's what gets me out of bed. That's why I'm so excited to go compete, because I don't know what's going to happen out there. I can have the best game plan ever, but you know, you get hit with those 4-ounce gloves or kicked upside the head, and it's going to change your night real quick.
So a lot to discuss in the aftermath of this all. Of course, I got to bring this up. I know you talked about it on Twitter a little bit, but I got to hear from the horse's mouth. The post-fight interview with Michael Bisping seems to have garnered more attention than the actual fight itself, which sometimes happens in this crazy sport of ours, and it's unfortunate. I watched the post-fight interview again this morning, and all respect to Michael Bisping, he's a legend, former champion. It did not seem malicious to me. Yeah, you corrected him, but you smiled. You didn't say, hey, butthead, you're wrong. Get your facts straight. But he felt like you tried to make him look silly out there. That's not the vibe I got multiple times watching that post-fight interview. What did you make of those comments from Michael Bisping? It seemed kind of out of left field to me.
That could be exactly what maybe he didn't want to be corrected, or maybe, I don't know, like, is there a rule that I'm not allowed to correct them, you know, like on air or something? Maybe, I don't know if there is, maybe I should have said something after, but I don't know. I mean, this is my life. This is what I put everything that I do is to wake up in the morning and get better at this specific sport. And, you know, I have the receipts. I fought a ranked guy before. I beat a ranked guy. I was ranked before. So, you know, I just thought I'd clear that up.
Yeah. I mean, you know how sometimes you leave a conversation with somebody, even I think you find it more so with like when you're texting somebody and it maybe comes across like, and you kind of feel, you're like, maybe that didn't come off the way I meant it to. And you kind of have that feeling in your stomach, but then you don't get a response. You're like, all right, maybe they didn't take it that way. Did you have like any inkling when you walked to the back that maybe you like made him upset in any way? Like, did you even think about that until he actually made those comments?
I felt it was a little awkward in the cage. I felt that moment was a little awkward, but like you said, like I was laughing about it. I wasn't doing it maliciously, or I wasn't trying to make him look stupid. I was just correcting with the facts. And even if I did feel that way going in the back, like I did feel like, oh, it was awkward. I didn't feel in the wrong for it, honestly.
Of course, my ears rang, Ricky, when you got to the point of who you wanted to call out and you dropped Sean O'Malley's name, which if you recall, the last time you and I spoke, I was going to ask you about that idea and you stopped me short and you said something to the effect of, come on, dude, like he doesn't want that fight. He'll never say yes to that fight. You said you love that fight, but you're not going to call him out because you didn't think he'd ever take that fight. Now you're calling him out. What has changed, Ricky? What has changed for you? I have to know.
Well, I thought maybe a finish over a ring guy like that would maybe get him excited or get the UFC excited to make that happen. I think, when I went in decisions or even with someone like I got two finish out of my three fights this year. So I don't understand why people say I'm boring. I don't want to make that matchup. But I got a good finish. And if I can't call someone out in front of me, you know, then I think that fight is exciting for the fans. I get tagged and stuff all the time. I get asked about O'Malley all the time. So, and people want to see him tested against a wrestler. And I could strike too. So I think I'm a tough test for him and people want to see him get tested.
Now he's ranked above you one spot. I think you're 13 now and he's 12. I mean, it makes perfect sense now. Like logistically, it couldn't be a better time. Right. And what do you think of him being ranked above you? I feel your resume is a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, my reaction there wasn't the best, but I beat the number 12 ranked guy in the world, and they moved him to 12. I was cracking up the next week when the rankings got released. I was a little surprised. I mean, I know, like there's a lot that kind of goes into it, but it just seemed like someone was messing with me at that point.
Yeah, do you think on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think the chances are that fight happens? It probably happens someday, but like next, like 1 to 10, the chances you fight Sean O'Malley in your next fight.
I don't think there's a very good chance. I honestly, from the last time we talked, I don't think he wants to fight. You see, I said his name after the interview, said everything, and then he goes and tweets to Yanez, right? So, I mean, I think that was the answer already. So I'm moving on. Maybe they want to push me to someone in the top 10. There's plenty of guys who need fights. I got some guys that could be fun rematches too down the line. You know, I got a close loss to number 5, and a win, whether it be controversial or not, over number 6. So I mean, I feel like there's some fun fights to be made, and I'm excited to see what the UFC comes at me with. But I doubt O'Malley wants that fight. I doubt he'll take it.
The way you started to answer that question, I was like, wait a minute. Was there something cooking here? But I guess there's not. I guess it's not going to happen. Who knows?
I stay hopeful.
I mean, yeah. I mean, just think. So we have a matchmaking show that we do on MMA Fighting. It drops Sundays, like right after these events. Pedro Munhoz is my choice for you. I think he's ranked number 10 right now. He's still a really good fighter. He's had the tough loss with Cruz. The fight with Jose Aldo was super fun despite the loss. I feel like that's a good fight for both of you guys. You're looking to get another established veteran name on your resume. Mm-hmm. Pedro's looking to get back on track. There's really no way he can avoid a fight with a guy like you who's on a 4-fight winning streak after losing his last couple. I feel like that one makes all the sense in the world. But again, you just have so many fun options right now. What are your thoughts? Like, is there one name that sticks out above the others for you?
Not really. I just, cause I feel like there's like, I think it's been that bantamweight division has been pretty active. And I feel like it's always hard for me to like find someone who, you know, the timing would match up along with the rankings. But right now I feel like 8, 9, 10 are all lost and need a fight. I think is that, Pedro, Frankie and Marlon Moraes. Any of those, none of those names, like one sounds better than the other. I mean, they're all like great fights. They're all tough fights. So, any of those. And cause I mean, they're all ranked above me as well. So if I can't beat up O'Malley, then one of those guys would be great.
I feel you mentioned timing. I feel like the timing of this knockout was perfect because the top of the division is still a mess. It's super fun, but it's still a mess because we still got to wait for that rematch to happen for the title between Sterling and Jan. Then we have Dillashaw and Aldo. We don't know what's going to happen with those two guys. I think Font and Sandhagen, they should just match those two guys up. But I feel like by the time you fight again, that title picture is either going to be like about to be cleared up or will be cleared up. So I feel like everything is... This win happened at the exact perfect time. Do you feel the same way? Like if this happened 6 months ago, I don't know if it would have the same impact that it's having right now.
Yeah. I think, you're definitely right about that. Cause it's always hard to like we said, for like, when this happens, new guys are coming in and old guys are kind of like coming out of the rankings and stuff like that. But it just feels like things are open, but like, you know, there's still matchups like in the top five that could really clear some things up. And I think just with a couple more wins at the end of 2022, I could be up there in the top five or a contender fight, you know? So that's what I'm looking forward to this next year.
I was talking to your cousin after his big win. He had a sensational finish as well. And he said that you guys have this sort of relationship where he gets the finish and he kind of just looks at you and just kind of like swaggers at you saying like, top that, dude. Do you feel like you topped it or do you feel like you were a step behind?
They're both right here. So maybe I was caught me a little bit, but I mean, come on, Vince, mine was over the top, a top 15 guy in the world and a legend in a Sun Tzu. I'm just saying, if we're comparing, pull it out. Just kidding. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we're super competitive like that. We're always like pushing each other, but it's the best. I mean, I have a cousin who's in the UFC in my same weight class. You know, it makes for awesome training. We've been getting down over there in Vegas. I've been cross training with him over at Syndicate and stuff, and we've been making that work over the last maybe a year and a half or so. So really since this whole COVID stuff's been going on. So it's been cool. But yeah, we're definitely competitive.
What's it been like for you to watch him mature as a fighter? Because you feel like the skills were always there. It's just a matter of getting that confidence and just getting that maturization in the sport to all just kind of come together. And I feel like with him, it's starting to come together and you've gotten to see it closer than really any of us. We just get to see the in cage product. You see it behind the scenes. What has that been like for you to sort of watch him sort of live up to the potential that a lot of people have had for him?
It's inspiring, man. It has been. He at the end of the day, he's still like my older cousin, my big cousin. So, you know, to see where him bounce back from so much adversity, especially with that tough fight, broken orbital torn Achilles, you know, and then coming back and you know, I see him win some fights and then, you know, buy a home and stuff like that. You know, it just, it pumps me up for sure.
There you go. Who do you think wins the rematch when they finally book it? Who's going to be the champion come like the springtime? Is it going to be Jan getting it back or Aljo retaining?
I mean, I don't know. I picked Aljo in the first fight. I thought he'd be able to wrestle him up some more. But I mean, we did see a lot of that first fight. I mean, just how it was going. And what we've seen, as of late, maybe I have to go Jan this time, but I mean, I'm not sure. I still feel like, Aljo's a strong bantamweight and he can definitely test Jan some areas, but I mean, I don't know. I'm definitely excited to get over that hump though. I'm ready to see who it is. I can't stand the whole interim champ, you know, waiting to fight.
Yeah. What was that like watching Jan and Sandhagen? Because those are two guys that you'll probably get your eyes on, and those two put on one of the best fights of the year. It was just tremendous to watch. And you're getting ready to fight Rafael Sunsau. So to watch those two get in there and just have a fight like that, what was that like for you to watch?
Yeah. I mean, they were awesome. You know, it was an exciting fight. And yeah, I usually love watching any bantamweight fight. I feel like we're like a perfect combination of, you know, athleticism and technique. You know, you can't lack in any areas of MMA, I feel like, or you're going to be exposed. So that's what, anytime those bantamweights have to fight, I mean, it's always fun. It's always fun, especially those two. I feel like some of the combinations those guys throw, I'm just like, dang, I've been watching The Matrix and everything. So those guys are living in it.
Is bantamweight the best division in the sport? I mean, I know you're kind of biased, but like looking at it from an outside perspective, you cannot argue it is the deepest division in the sport. No doubt about it. But is it the best? Has it officially overtaken 155 as the best division in MMA right now?
Yeah. Obviously my completely unbiased opinion. Yeah. It's of course. Not even close.
Oh man. So are you a resolution guy? I mean, we're knocking on the door of flipping that calendar. What are we looking at in terms of, it doesn't even have to be a fighting resolution, just like a life resolution. Maybe look at the setup. We could have the Ricky Simone live video podcast with this setup. This is amazing stuff. What do we got on the goal sheet?
I'm going to work out every day. My diet is going to be better. I'm going to stop drinking. No, I'm not going to do none of that. Maybe something like that. I mean, I started doing some like streaming with Twitch, but like I travel so much. I'm either going to Vegas or going to Timo Yamas in California. I swear I can never like get something going regularly. I think that's the key too, is to stay on top of it consistently. And I'm not consistent in anything but MMA. I feel like I'm everywhere. If I'm not, you know, it's hard when I'm training all the time, but that's what I would like to do, is just be able to jump on some streams more and interact with the fans through gaming and maybe some like podcast. Vince and I have actually talked about doing one together, or because we game together, so maybe, you know, game together and also like talk a little bit throughout. I don't know.
That'd be amazing. You guys, because you guys are so competitive, you guys are just like talk trash to each other the whole time, but still like talk to the fans. You're like, sorry, pause. All right, let's answer this fan question. And then you guys go back to like talking shit to each other and playing video games. I would absolutely watch that.
Yeah, my man. Yeah, we've been talking about it for literally years, so we should probably get that going. It's my resolution. You heard it here, Vince.
Yeah, so you got a studio. He's got a nice little studio set up at his new house. I think you guys got something coming. Yeah. So, so we look forward to that. We look forward to seeing what 2022 has in store for you, Ricky. Congratulations on a great win. Cap it off a big year. And I think 2022, like I said, timing matching up, this could be a very interesting year for you and the bantamweight division. So congrats. Happy New Year. Enjoy the rest of the holidays, man. And we'll talk soon.
Heck yeah. Thanks for always having me on.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising, with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.